Good evening, everybody. Today's gospel is considered one of the favorite gospels for preachers. Do you have any idea why that would be the case? The reason is because you get blamed, rather than the preacher, if you're not converted. Because in this gospel story of the seed, it's the soil, you know, the one who receives the word of God that's at fault if the gospel doesn't work to conversion in that person's life. So it's your fault, not mine, if things don't work tonight, okay? No, seriously though, that's just a joke. It's a co-responsibility that we have, both to be preachers and to be listeners to God's word. So let's look at today's scripture readings. You know, in the Bible, nature, the world around us, is often considered a metaphor for our spiritual lives. Things that we see in the world tell us something about ourselves in relationship to God. And that's true about today's first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's the image of rain and soil, and it prepares us for today's gospel. Now, for us to understand this passage, we have to understand its context. And the context is this: the Jewish people had just returned to the promised land after being exiled in Babylonia for about 50 years. And when they got back and tried to put things together again, it wasn't working very well. You know, they didn't have the right kind of leadership. People weren't cooperating with one another. And because of that, the people were despairing about their return to the promised land. Would God be faithful to the promises that he had made them? And so God sent the prophet Isaiah, who preached to them a very simple but clear message. Let's listen to this reading once again. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and the snow come down and do not return there, until they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, so shall my word be. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. Now God promised them, and God promises us, that his word will be effective in our lives, even if it doesn't seem that that's the case. And it's important for us to apply this not just to ourselves personally, but to the world in which we live. You know, this doesn't look like a very successful experiment on God's part, the world in which we live, the political tensions in the world, the hatred and anger that people have towards one another. It just doesn't seem like things are going to work out sometimes. Sometimes we have difficulties in the life of the church where there's turmoil and conflict between members of the church and one another. It's true about our families, and it's true about our personal lives. But we have God's promise in this reading from the prophet Isaiah that his word to us, which is a word of love and a word of transformation, will always be effective. And we need to make an act of trust and hope in God's word in our lives. Okay? Now that reading is to help us prepare for today's gospel reading, which is a wonderful and I think rather clear parable. And it seemed kind of strange when you read this that the people who were listening didn't understand, and Jesus had to explain the meaning of the parable in detail at the end. But let's look at this so we get a sense of what this gospel passage is telling us tonight. I have a friend who is a priest in Kansas. And when he preaches about this gospel, he gives a title to his homily. He says, my homily is about God being a lousy farmer, but a loving father. You know? And the reason for this is because the farmer, the one who is sowing the seed in today's gospel, seems to be rather reckless in the way that he is casting the seed. So much of it is wasted. It falls on the wrong places rather than into the field. And this is, in some sense, a description of what God's generosity is like, you know, in relationship to us. God is extravagant. And if we just cooperated with the graces that he throws our way, things would be marvelous. But a lot of it's wasted, not because of the God who is generous, but because of our lack of receptivity to the graces he wants to give us. So anyway, Jesus, before he tells his story, comes out of the house. It's probably St. Peter's house in Capernaum, where Jesus seemed to have the base for his ministry in Galilee. Have any of you been to Peter's house in Capernaum? I've been there. A couple of us have been there. It's a wonderful experience to know that's where Jesus lived and where he began his preaching. He came out of the house, and it says he sat down by the sea, which is the posture of a rabbi who would sit and teach the people who came to him, who were called his disciples. They would sit at the feet of the master in order to learn. And we're told the crowd was so large that Jesus had to get into a boat and go off the shore a bit where he sat down in order to preach to the crowd that had gathered around him. And he began by giving one of his famous parables. Now, we're going to have the readings from this section of St. Matthew's Gospel over the next several Sundays, and there are 8 parables that Jesus tells, which are parables about how to be responsive to God's grace in our lives. And, you know, Jesus uses the parable quite a bit in his preaching. One person's estimate was that one-third of Jesus' teaching in the Gospels is in the form of parables. And a parable is an extended metaphor, an image that tells us something that we don't necessarily see very directly. The word parable comes from a Greek word, parabole, which means to stand beside. So Jesus uses images to stand beside real-life experiences to help us understand the meaning of our lives. And in this particular passage, it's an agricultural image that Jesus uses. And it's a story of the sower who discovers 5 different kinds of soil. We're going to save the explanation of that to the end. But when he finishes telling the story, his disciples ask him, "Why do you preach in parables? Why don't you just say it more directly?" And then Jesus enters into a dialogue with them, which is supposed to be a dialogue with us, telling them how precious the Word of God is and how they should be grateful for it, and how blessed they are to be receptive to hearing God's Word when so much of the world around them wasn't receptive. In this particular case, Jesus was talking about the Pharisees, who were resistant to hearing the Word of God that Jesus was preaching. And Jesus says something here that I think I would like to make sure that all of us heard, because this is so important. Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you, many prophets," you know, those who are spokespersons for God, "and righteous people," righteous people are those who had the right relationship with God and the right relationship with others, "longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Now, this is a statement of Jesus about how privileged we are to live at this time in the history of the world when we are able to hear the Word of God and respond to it. And many people who've gone before us who longed to hear it and who were righteous people didn't have the privilege that we have. So we shouldn't take the Word of God lightly. We should take it seriously. And we should be like those disciples who sat at the feet of Jesus around the boat, anxious to understand. And we have to test our hearts. Are our hearts open to receive the Word of God? Or have we hardened our hearts? Have we taken the Word of God for granted and not responded in an act of self-giving conversion that God invites us to respond? I mean, that's what the gospel is all about. It's about the transformation of our hearts. It's not about learning things for our mind. It's about transforming our hearts so that we begin to act and begin to love in a way different than we've acted and loved up to now. So, don't take the Word of God lightly. Be grateful for that gift and respond to it. And then Jesus explains the story that he told. So let's look for ourselves in this gospel parable and not look for somebody else. Which one of these are we like? I think the answer is we're like all of them at different times in our lives and perhaps with different parts of our lives all the time. So let's look what Jesus said. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of God, the word of the kingdom, without understanding it. You know, we don't work very hard to understand God's word sometimes. You know, we hear a scripture passage read to us on Sunday, and we didn't understand it, but we don't pay much attention. You know, we don't take it seriously. The evil one, represented by the birds, comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. So if we don't try to understand the word of God, it passes away, and we won't have that opportunity again. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. But he has no roots and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. Now that's really common, isn't it, in our lives, that we are excited about being a Christian, but only for a moment. And when it becomes burdensome or difficult or something really is demanded of us because of it, we wither away. You know, our faith is about that deep rather than profoundly deep. And we're quickly unfaithful despite the fact that we've sworn our fidelity to the Lord in a profound and serious kind of way. You know, one of the things that's really disturbing in the statistics of the church is that of the converts who become Catholics at Easter time, in many cases, about 70% of the time, those people aren't going to church a year after their baptism or reception into the church. You know, and only how many, 20% of those who have been baptized Catholics in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia go to Mass on Sunday. Now, that's not the only gauge of one's faith, but it's a pretty serious one. If we don't take our Sunday obligation seriously, it's a sign that we're not all that serious about our commitment to Jesus and to his church. The third example, the seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word and takes it seriously, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil, according to the scriptures. Not money, but the love of money. And I think it's true that, as Jesus says, whatever Jesus says is true. We have to take him in his word. But he says here that the lure of riches and having many possessions can strangle the word of God in our lives in a couple of ways. One, it distracts us from God. At another time, we might pursue it rather than pursuing the plan that God has for us. Rather than doing good, we want to make money. And that strangles the growth of the Word of God in our lives. And then we have some good news at the end of this parable. Jesus says, "But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Now, one little seed of wheat, when planted in the ground, produces a stalk that has about 60 grains of wheat in it. Now, they've genetically engineered some wheat so it produces more, but typically it was 60 grains per grain that was planted in the ground. That's quite a bit of produce. And so it's wonderful multiplication of things when God's grace is at work in our lives. And Jesus is inviting us to embrace the Word of God in a deep kind of way in the depths of ourselves so that it produces that kind of fruit. Now, let's conclude with a reflection about today's second reading, which is a passage from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. You know, what's interesting about this passage is St. Paul is not talking about Christians so much. He's talking about the world in which we live. And he uses an image that I think can capture us. This is what he says. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. What St. Paul is saying here is that the world in which we live is giving birth to something new because of the grace of God, because of the Word of God sown into the world. And all the world around us is groaning to give birth, and we ourselves are in that process. You know, that, you know, there's, even if we're lazy, there's something about the human heart that wants to become new and wants to be converted and wants to love and wants to be significant and wants to accomplish a lot. It's the way God created the world, the universe, and the way God created us. And the word that he casts into our lives in such a generous kind of way is a word that leads to the birth of something new and the birth of a transformation that not only changes ourselves but can change the world. And St. Paul then is giving us another word of hope. If we just cooperate with the Word of God, which comes to us richly, things can change for ourselves and for the world. So we ask the Lord to help us be good soil. We ask the Lord to help us know ourselves so we know when our soil is hard, when we're distracted and tempted by avarice and other kind of things. And we know that the Lord, who is effective in our lives, can give us new birth and through us change the world.